Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Forgotten Fantasy Podcast, a Gamersological production. Today, we're going to be continuing Part 2, Chapter 2 of Emperor Blood, and, we'll see what happens to Tanshi and Anne this time.
Chapter 3. Tanshi stared at the empty escalator. Moving stairs. I thought your angels were a toy. His words failed him. He took a large step onto the first stair and clutched the handrail as it moved upwards. Anne stepped on. He shot Anne his naughty look. The stairs stopped. They started again, stopped, started. She clung to the rail with irritation. Tanshi halted his play, but chuckled to himself all the way to the top. I want a snack. Anne pointed at a wide doorway with a holograph of a steaming dinner. The restaurant's an observation deck that revolves. You'll be able to see all of space. Tanshi followed her in. He wrinkled his nose at the smells and glanced around at the munching humans, his sunglasses hiding his stare. He lowered himself into his chair as if he settled on a throne and examined a nearby fat man who ate spaghetti. The man's chins quivered as he slurped in the sauce-covered strings. The waitress brought coffee. Tanshi shivered and cupped his hands around the mug. I'm cold. My feet and nose are cold. He sipped his drink. Good, it's hot. Andre makes sure all the coffee on the station comes from Munendet, Anne said. Demeter and the greenhouses are the only tropical places here. She pointed at the arms of her thick sweatshirt, at her ankle boots, then at his sandals. You need to get a sweater and some socks. Tanshi nodded. He placed a careful pause between each word. Yes. Nice souvenirs. Space station is cold and bright like a winter night of the twin moons. Not as cold as the March ships. Ganymede shone below them. Blue and white, Tanshi said. South Menendek is Red Leto Desert. West restaurant turned away from the planet. There's the Milky Way that contains Earth, Anne said. All humans really do come from Earth. It's not a myth. Though because very few people lived there, people did once think it was. 300 years ago, archaeologists found a thick layer of remains under a desert from about 10,000 years ago. It caused a craze for the style of the furniture, the art, like people are about Menendek today, and the stories, once Father Gregory broke language code. Tons of paper fragments. That's where the word vampire comes from. Father Gregory, with his translations, revived Christianity. She stopped at the sight of Tanshi's furrowed brow. Stupid. Why was she rambling on and on? He didn't care what she knew from the learning channel. She stared down at her cup. You speak fast. Sorry, I don't understand. Tanshi pulled a handheld from a pouch at his belt. Demeter. The ship answered with a flood of Menendek. Tanshi laughed and answered her. Anne narrowed her eyes. Who said you could patch Demeter into your handheld? Me, Demeter said. Tanshi gave a thin smile. And isn't it handy that I did? Humph, Anne said. Can you repeat what you said before? Tanshi asked. Demeter translated. Anne repeated herself. Tanshi acted interested and asked questions about archaeology and Earth. We have ruins. Most are sacred. People aren't allowed to disturb them. He looked thoughtful. I'd like to watch your learning channel on our trip. We'll see if we can pry John from soccer, though Andre likes some of the shows, not the ones about plants and animals of various planets. All about other planets. That sounds very interesting, Tanshi said. Anne grinned at the thought of having a few weeks with someone watching her shows with her in the lounge rather than sitting isolated in her bedroom. The waitress appeared, and Anne ordered a large iced chocolate brownie. Tanshi scrutinized the cake, reached out and touched it. His finger poked right into it. He snapped his hand back with embarrassment. For heaven's sakes, Anne said. Go on, taste it. Tanshi's red tongue darted out and touched his chocolate-coated finger. He scrubbed his tongue with his napkin and took several gulps of coffee. Ugh, sweet mud. Never thought of a brownie that way, Anne said. They both laughed. After the coffee break, which Tanshi insisted on paying for, Anne and Tanshi headed for the Menendek Trading Company. Elegant painted characters made up the sign. Unlike the other shops in the mall, The trading company had an open front with no glass windows or a door. Tomorrow's wedding would mark the first time the metal roll-down closed the store. Cheaper knick-knacks, souvenirs, trinkets, and china spilled out the front. The expensive alcohol, coffee, Lito jewelry, and porcelain crowded the back of the store. Silk and cotton clothing, sandals, and rolled futons filled the middle. The smell of a barn wafted from the store next door. Tanchi read the characters on the sign. Frisch de Ganope? It's called Mr. Hamster, after the children's pet. Anne pointed at the dancing cartoon rodent, tipping its top hat at passers-by. The station wouldn't let the vampires have a restaurant in the food court, so Andre remade the stock market to look like a human food place. Tanchi gestured at the counter and the two embassy guards standing in front, feeding on bloodworms from a blue paper carton. We could have had a snack here. My food's not revolting. Anne made a face. Only to you. Tanchi followed her into the trading company. He removed his sunglasses in the dim light. Nan, the manager, sat on a mat at the back of the store. She measured and weighed coffee on an old-fashioned brass scale by putting weights onto one side and the beans on the other. The Menendek ambassador watched her work. None of the clerks ran up to fawn over Anne in their usual way. Anne filled a paper bag with the coffee, as if Anne did not exist. The ambassador did not turn with his usual polite greeting. "J'ai grit, pa!" Anne called out. Susu, the senior clerk, appeared in front of her, with a bow and a salaam, but not her usual wide grin. She looked nervous. "J'ai grit for pain on, Miss Turberville. The wine and coffee's ready for your approval. Everything over at the Starlight tomorrow morning." They moved to the back of the store, where an open-top box, atop several others, waited for Anne's inspection. While she gave it a quick inspection, knowing everything for the boss's wedding would be perfect, Tanchi moved to one side and examined the liquor shelves. He took down a bottle of expensive whiskey and handed it to her. "Can you buy this for me? Has your card run out already? You must know that I can't buy things here." Tanchi spoke without emotion. "This is the one place where you shouldn't even have to pay." Anne turned to the manager. "Is what he says true?" Aunt Nan swiped the ambassador's money card, bowed, and handed him his bag of coffee. "Hey, den kal, schlendignap, she dekan nuku." "Hey, et schlendicap, Nan dekan zilando pay." The ambassador took his card and package, wandered down the side aisle, and stopped to examine some futons. Nan stood up, turned away from Anne, and began to straighten the shelves. Susu stood frozen by the boxes of wine, her face ashen. "What's wrong with you?" Anne said. "Answer me." "She can't." Tanchi touched the wide white badge on his shirt. "As you know, I'm Paynon." "Isn't that the symbol of your elite squad?" Anne said. Tanchi shook his head. "I don't have a special squad. Those soldiers are also Paynon." "Paynon means that he's shunned," Demeter said. "A living ghost. Nan and Susu mustn't even acknowledge that he exists." "That's ridiculous," Anne said. "This isn't Menendez. This is your boss's brother. Andre talks to Tanche, and so do the general and the soldiers." Her voice rose. "I'm going to tell him about your horrible behavior. You'll both be fired and sent home." Tanche placed a hand on her arm. "They acknowledge me. Being sent home will be the least of their troubles. Only in Zalavra would the store serve me." He stared at the ambassador. "Some say that my city and my family died because they refused to shun me." The ambassador strode out of the store. His bodyguards appeared and followed him away across the square. Nan straightened the shelves, banging the goods into a straight line. Susu walked to the front of the store and pulled down the metal rolling door. She returned. "Java regegeka konsu." Susu fell to her knees in front of Tanchi, her palms up in supplication. "J'ai grit, su de can ver champé." Tanchi pulled her to her feet. "There's too few of our clanswomen left, younger cousin, for you to risk yourself on my account." He nodded at Nan, now standing staring at a shelf of dolls, her arms limp at her side. "Follow your manager's lead. She knows how to deal with a Paynon." "No, I won't. I've lost all respect for her. I'm so honored to meet you, esteemed Excellency Zhao Hao Tanchi. I wish I could shun Prince Shai." "Anne," Tanchi said, Here's something that you should know. Lieutenant Painon Nikal, a past crew member of the Mephisto, wanted to come to the wedding, but 2 months ago he was promoted to captain of the battleship Phoebos. Anne furrowed her brow. I don't know any Nikal. Tanchi raised a hand to silence her. He's alive and well, Nan drew in her breath. He loves his mother and hopes that one day he can see her again. She leaned her head against the shelf. Thank you, esteemed Excellency, Nan whispered. Her shoulders heaved. Susu went and put an arm around her. I had no idea, Nan Pei. You lost most of your family, Susu, Nan said. I only mourn a ghost. My pain's nothing. They held each other. Tanchi stared straight ahead. Anne couldn't stand the darkened fog of sadness. She ran down the store and heaved up the door. All the drink looks good, she said brightly. I have to go now. And even though I hate wearing them, buy a dress for the wedding. Wait! Tanchi stepped over to a rack of clothing and pulled out something made of water green silk. Forget it, Anne said. I've had the advice of your brother, and that was enough. Thanks. He thinks he knows women because he likes feminine things. Tanchi arched his eyebrows. I know the prickly reality. Believe me, it's a suggestion only. Susu took the clothes from Tanchi. I'll find Anne's size. I need a bigger size on top than on the bottom, Anne said. Nothing that makes my boobs pop out. Tanchi's amused look made her red. You know what I mean. Something comfortable. Susu rooted around in the racks and presented Anne with Tanchi's idea. Anne couldn't bring herself to think of it as his choice. The thought annoyed her. The clothing looked like a skirt and a wraparound jacket. No tight corset or pull-up bra. She tried them on in the single dressing room. The skirt was pants, wide enough to look like a loose skirt. She tied the jacket so it hung loosely. Everything that needed covering was covered. Anne had to admit she liked the color. She stepped out to show them. Let me tighten the jacket, Susu said. Anne frowned. You have a nice figure. It's not a sin to like yourself. The clerk smiled and adjusted the wraparound. There, nothing's falling out. Susu quickly undid Anne's braids and fluffed her hair. Anne slipped on a pair of embroidered slippers and examined herself in the mirror. It reflected Susu, Nan, and Tanchi, standing behind her, a clutch of proud parents. Tanchi nodded. Kuver Peron. Pools Frischfer. Anne blushed and he smiled. For the first time in her life, Anne felt beautiful. Some tourists entered the store. The clerk's smiles vanished, and they moved away. Anne floated up to the tourists, bowed, and gave them a smile showing her fangs that the visitors hoped for. Anne changed her clothes. Nan wrapped the clothes and slippers in green tissue and placed them in a white box stamped with the gold seal of the trading company. Tanchi needs socks, Anne said. Nan stared down at the box. Anne bit her lip. I mean, I need some of those black men's socks over there. She looked Tanchi up and down, sizing him, and 5 skeins each of the black, white, and the gray merino wool. Are you going to make another of your camouflage sweaters? Susu asked. Yes. John loved the green one I made, and I like the Menendez military coat. Anne handed over her money card. As she gathered the packages and the whiskey, anger at their stupid custom bubbled up. She raised her voice. I'm making a warm sweater for Andre's brother, Tanchi, who doesn't deserve this rude treatment. Anne turned on her heel, stormed past the tourists, and stomped off down the mall. Tanchi caught up to her. You don't need to be angry on my account. It doesn't bother me. I deserve my punishment. What could you possibly have done to deserve such treatment? Soon as the words left her mouth, Anne regretted it. What if the March rumors were true? You don't know? No, Andre doesn't talk much about you, other than that you and the Kuang are his only surviving close relatives. He was pretty broken up over Zalabra. Still is from time to time. My enemies drove me blood mad, and I murdered 2 innocent human women. I assumed you knew. I understand if you want me to leave you now. He made no move to walk away. It's okay. You'd be declared innocent by reason of insanity here. Anne stiffened despite herself. You're fine now? Yes. Well then, here's your socks. Tanchi grinned. He bowed as he took them. Thank you, Anne. You're a good person. Actually, no. I have to go into St. Michael's to make confession. Anne saw his puzzled frown. to get God's forgiveness for what I've done wrong. I apologized many times to the gods. He shrugged. They're deaf, dumb, and blind. I don't know why I bothered. My religion believes there's only one God, that the others don't exist, Anne said. God forgives. She paused. At least, through Christ, he forgives humans. Tanchi scowled. You follow the March religion? You think I'm some kind of demon? Anne turned on him. Don't you ever, ever compare my Christianity to the narrow, sickening fundamentalism of the March. I belong to the proper Christian church, not some nut cult. They stomped along the mall in silence. Anne stopped at the opening to a square surrounded by doors, both open and closed, placed at intervals along its white walls. A large round mosaic taking up most of the floor held the symbols of 100 faiths. From the far side, a muezzin in a high window called on the faithful to pray. A bell tolled. The smell of incense wafted around them. Sorry, Tanchi and Anne said in unison. They laughed. This is the Hall of Religions, Anne said. Everything for everybody, including the civic chapel and the general reception hall, where John and Andre will be married. This is similar to home, Tanchi said. Like the several temples in the village square. No gods or goddesses thinking they're the only one. I've read the March scriptures. The no other god part's the same as what you said. The Bible's the same, but not the interpretation. Anne wanted to snap. Even the devil quotes scripture, but thought better of it. She walked down the right side of the hall, past the closed door to the March chapel. A hollow picture of the top half of an old patrician spoke to her from beside the door. People of the Alliance, demons infiltrate your station, and soon your worlds. They corrupt your young men and women, and lead faithful women to sin. The devil, cannibalizer of children and women, murderer of saints and holy men, walks among you. Tanchi stopped and stared. Anne sighed. The patrician faded to a picture of the chapel full of rapt, silent listeners. At 2200 hours, hear Senator Jonas Reimer, Consul of March, speak of the protection of the faith during his long-ago experiences among the demon vampires. Learn about the threat they pose to the galaxy, the picture said. He looks old from when I last saw him. Good. I hope the human disease kills him. Tanchi put a hand flat against the wall. Anne looked up at the sound of the security cameras turning towards the far side of the square. To her dismay, Tanchi pulled a brush and an ink stone from his pouch, spit on the stone, swirled the brush around on it, then wrote a quick series of Venendic characters on the chapel door. He followed with a swift line of March writing. What are you doing? Anne glanced around the hall and found it miraculously empty. We'll be charged with vandalism. Tanchi pointed at the words. We'll never forget Zalabra. Tremble at Doragon's wrath. Leave your battles at home, Anne said. This is neutral territory. They started it. All of it. Tanchi stalked out of the square. Anne shook her head and walked on to her own church, St. Michael's in the Stars. Euphemia Cratwick stepped out of the chapel. Anne froze. Euphemia glanced at her. Anne knew she couldn't go to confession without having made peace. Mother Mary would never let her pass on this penance. Might as well get it over with. She swallowed her anger. Sorry I made a rude sign at you. I forgive you. Euphemia gave a thin smile. It's not your fault. You try, but demons and evil have invaded your ship due to your brother. Her face full of concern, she placed a hand on Anne's shoulder. You're without your mother's advice. I worry about you, about your soul. The devil's finding his way into your heart. I've found that people can sin quite nicely all by themselves without any help from the devil. Anne crossed her arms. Jesus ate with the unwanted and the sinners. Not human blood, Euphemia said. Anne rolled her eyes, though the death of the baboon jumped into her mind. The brother is worse than Andre. He worships the devil. They feed on humans in their ceremonies. He's murdered and eaten hundreds, including women and children. Stay away from him. They feed on blood, what the Bible warns us against. Andre deals in sexual perversion. My dear, I fear for your innocent life. How can you listen to the march? They're not good Christians. They murdered Tanchi's family and destroyed his city. Euphemia stared past her towards the graffiti on the march doors. Anne's heart sank. Euphemia pointed. Curses! A hex! See, the beast leaves his mark! She rushed into the March Church. Tonchi appeared at the entrance to the hall. Hurry up! Anne motioned to him. Euphemia discovered the graffiti. He sauntered up to her with a pleased look. Come on! Anne yanked him into St. Michael's and shut the door behind them. You are so bad, Anne said. They see you, they'll figure out who did it. Now we're stuck here until they sort it out. Tonchi grinned. A multicolored quilt tablecloth decorated an altar at the front of the church. Mother Mary watered the potted plants sitting on it. Behind the table hung a wall hanging, with the sun in an empty cross. In the dimness, chairs waited for an audience. Tonchi removed his sunglasses. He frowned when Anne stopped at the stoop of holy water, dipped her right fingers, and made the sign of the cross. Dorgan rises, he said. I thought so. Christ is the god of death. The sun means life to us, Mother Mary walked down the aisle. Her round face beamed. Jesus is life. Not to my people, Tonchi said. Mary bowed and salaamed. J. Grit Painon sure of Painon can. I'm the Reverend Mary Malley. All are equal in the sight of God. You of all people shouldn't use the word Painon, Anne said. It means non-person. It's horrible. We just came from the trading company, and Nan and Susu shunned him. His name's Tonchi. I know. I'm studying the vampires. One should follow the customs of a people. But you'll notice I'm talking to Captain Shura, not ignoring him, Mother Mary said. By the way, I'm leaving shortly to minister to a new church in the human settlement on Menendek. You're leaving? Anne asked. Even though I'm not marrying John and Andre, I've ruffled too many feathers by preaching tolerance instead of condemnation, Mary said. My attending the wedding's the last straw for the elders. I'm sorry, Anne said. Anne won't even appreciate it. He's so mad that you won't marry them. My leaving's nothing to do with you, Mary said. I'm glad, really. Stuck in the middle and pleasing nobody takes its toll. I'm sure Andre'll want to go home from time to time and we can visit. That village shouldn't be allowed. Humans are infiltrating my home, Tonchi scowled. How's John doing? Worn out with the excitement of the wedding, Mary said. He's very happy. The vampires are having a color guard for them, Anne said. So the vampires are like the people of Ganymede. Marriage could be between two people of the same sex. Mary turned to Tonchi. Christians believe marriage is only between a man and a woman. What makes you think I approve of this? Tonchi said. Andre's in his fertile time. He needs a proper wife, a Vershant woman to build up our clan again. You're his best man, Anne said. He stood up for me during my troubles. I support him. It's his life. He grimaced. He could say that I should marry and have children again, but I never will. He stared at the cross. No one can replace the dead. Anne placed a hand on his arm. He didn't shake it off. Perhaps time will heal you, Mary said. I'm sorry for your troubles. Thank you, Tonchi salaamed. I apologize for my rudeness and greet you. The march have a horrible hollow broadcasting to the hall, Anne said. Another reason to leave this place, Mary said. I find it hard to turn the other cheek where their heresies are concerned. Anne, you've come to confess your sins? Anne nodded. Excuse us, Captain Shura. She's done nothing wrong. She's a good person, Tonchi said. I agree, Mary said, but confession is good for the soul. I have some sins, Anne snorted, but it's not walking around with Tonchi. I met Euphemia on the way in. Oh, Mary sighed. I sin to say it, but some people get lonely, then bitter, when marriage doesn't happen. You're single, Anne said. By choice, Mary said. Right. Anne had forgotten that Mary was long divorced. Nothing's lonelier than a bitter marriage, Mary said. Before you say anything, I'm telling you once again that one day you'll be truly and happily married. Tonchi nodded. Many men must love her. They're keeping it well hidden, Anne said. Anne and Mary walked to the front of the church and sat down. Anne heard one of the prayer books recite in Demeter's soft translation. He's curious about humans, for all his justified dislike, Mother Mary said. Except for you. Despite his pain, he likes you, I can tell, and you like him too. Men aren't interested in me. More that you throw them off, Mary said. Anne pursed her lips and changed the subject. Forgive me, Mother, for I have sinned. Mary listened to Anne's small sins. A small smile flickered at the description of Anne's rude sign towards Euphemia Cratwick and a frown at the secret of Tanchi's painting the graffiti. I'm glad you apologized to Euphemia, but you'll have to tell the March about the graffiti. God, who knows our needs before we ask, forgives you. Mary made a sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Anne felt clean and pure, all her sins washed away. Something bothered her. Why do non-Christians go to hell, no matter how good they are? Why can't animals go to heaven? It doesn't seem fair. Why doesn't God forgive everyone's sins? Are you asking me about the vampires? Whether someone not human can be forgiven? Yes. God cares about the fall of the smallest sparrow. Vampire gods don't forgive. We bring the news that God forgives. Following true Christianity removes our eternal hell and prevents us from creating hell for others. Don't you feel better? Anne nodded, but Mary had not really answered her question. They turned and looked at Tanchi. He was staring down at the prayer book in his hand. It said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble and my eyes are heavy. So is my body and soul. My life is old with sorrow and my years with mourning. My strength fails because of adversity, and my bones are tired." He switched off the book and placed it back in the rack. Tanchi stepped up to the stoop, examined the smooth surface, then dipped his hand. The liquid sparkled and rippled. He sucked a wet fingertip. Mary and Anne walked up to him. "According to the legends, you should burn yourself with the holy water," Mary said with a smile. "It wasn't hot." "No, it's not hot." Tanchi gestured at the rack. "Some of the scripture I haven't heard before. The poetry is excellent." "The ancient Jewish people who wrote the Psalms had many troubles and many joys. Take the book as my gift to you. It has all the Christian scriptures, not just the bits and pieces the March use." "Thank you." Tanchi bowed. "I'll send you the Death Dance of the Blood Rings, our best opera. Andre will get it translated for you. I'll treasure it. Anne's a good woman. I know you'll respect her." "I do, very much." Anne snorted. "I can look after myself, Mother." She peeked out the door. The March have cleaned the doorpost and the way's clear. "Remember your penance," Mary said. "Yes, Mother." Anne planned to tell in a few days, when Demeter left for Revenant. No need to wreck the wedding.
Thank you very much for listening. And, as always, if you absolutely cannot wait to listen to the next episode, we have a full digital copy of the novel available to our patrons. So you can go over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/forgottenfantasy, and you can give us a... For $5, you can purchase the novel, okay? We also stream live video game content, although we've been taking a bit of a break right now because of the pandemic. We have been struggling to fit everything into our schedule, but you can come over to our channel and check out our VODs at twitch.tv/gamersillogical. We also have Twitter and Facebook. Our Facebook is /forgottenfantasy, and our Twitter is @gamersillogical. Thank you very much for listening. Take care and good health. Bye-bye now.